Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a brand new episode of Artsy of the Farty of the Immigrantes. I hope you have a good time today. Hope you're doing well. Let's lock and load. Got the guitar out today. Well, that was out of tune, but I fixed it. Let's have some fun. All right. Welcome to Artsy McFartsy's Immigrants Guitar Day. It's a very special episode, and it's a very special episode because you're here. You're listening right now, and I'm grateful for you. Not to channel too much of my Bob Ross, Mr. Rogers, not to channel them too much, rest in peace, boys, but yeah, sometimes you just gotta be grateful to be there. Just be grateful to be, huh? Put that on a bumper sticker, why don't ya? Be grateful to be. I'm in a grateful spirit because we just had Thanksgiving. So for those I have not been able to see or be in contact with recently, happy belated Thanksgiving to you. Happy birthday of the Pilgrims lunch at Plymouth Rock. I think that's what that's supposed to be. But you know what? What's most important is that Thanksgiving is whatever you want it to be. I would say that's more important. Thanksgiving is a very interesting holiday because it falls directly in between two of the most outlandish holidays in the entire universe. Bear with me. Halloween is... I love it. Look, I love it. I'm a... Long-time listeners, all two of you, long-time listeners will know that I'm a big Halloween fan. I like horror movies. I like scary video games. I like my, horror-themed coloring book. I have stickers that were gifts from my friend Moritz that are, all plastered all over my game room that are... scary, demented looking characters from games and stories that I enjoy. It's the thrill. You know what I mean? And when someone says they don't like horror because it gives them nightmares or because it bothers them. That I get. But when someone says, I don't like it. Nah, I don't get it. Nah, who wants to be scared? Like, what? I get when someone says, yo, I love it. Some things are cool. Like, oh, that movie, The Ring? Love that movie. Can't watch it, man. It just, I get nightmares. I'm being honest about that. Like, some people can't, they can appreciate the story. They can appreciate the art that goes behind it. Movies that I love, like the new one, like Weapons, great movie. Or anything Jordan Peele does. When someone says, look, I think that's great, but, watching a Jordan Peele movie like Us or Nope or Get Out and then playing a video game like Resident Evil, there's images that stick in my head. And afterwards, deep in the night, I will see one of those images or have a feeling that a character had in the movie or game, which is normal. And they can't, it makes them feel sick or nauseous. Totally understand. Totally understand. It's when people are like, man, why you like being scared? I don't know why he's immediately a Southern guy, but it's not meant to be a Southern joke. But let's make him French, because we all know what those people are like. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But I mean, I could imagine someone be like, oh, I can't. Man, my French accent is terrible. Oh, I like to... I'm, whenever I do it, it turns into Pepe Le Pew. Anyway, when people say that they appreciate it they understand it, but they just can't watch it. I go, oh, well, I get that. I get that. I have, like, me and, like, apparently my dad also, but I also have quite regularly, like, blinding violent nightmares. Like, okay, let me just give you an example, and then I'll get into the to the horror thing, because I wanted to talk about Halloween a little bit, just to get into how calm Thanksgiving is between that level of intensity versus Christmas, which is also intense for different reasons. But I had a dream. So this is not like nightmare, but this is just anxiety, right? Let me tell you about this dream. So I'm talking like last week I had this dream. And it wasn't as if anything even took place during the day where I would have an immense amount of anxiety that I would be needing to deal with. It was just a Thursday where I had a dream. It's so many layers of stress that I think it's actually funny because it's crazy. So, okay. The goal of my goal, my dream character's goal, right, in this moment in the dream, was that I need to cut off this live squid's tentacles. Let me repeat that. The goal, what I knew I needed to do was cut off a living squid's thrashing tentacles in order to make calamari, which I do all the time, on the yacht, in between the caviar and pushing the maids off port side, cut a living squid's tentacles off, right? Already, that's enough. Hey, that's enough stress. Stop there, pal. My brain goes, let me give it another shot. Let me see how many logs I can add to the fire. So, trying to cut off the tentacles of a thrashing squid whilst having headphones in, sitting in my car, mind you. I'm going to get to that. But like in a car seat that's so crammed, so uncomfortable, headphones in, that because I'm holding a thrashing squid, I can't take him out. My hands are too icky, so I can't. For some reason didn't want to, or I was like, no, but no, it's so gross, and I don't want to touch my. And for some reason, the headphones are blasting the most obnoxious music on planet Earth, and hey, at full volume. So, thrashing squid, wrapping itself around my arm, me holding a sharp knife in a close quarters, tight, compact space, a car, with headphones in that I can't remove, blasting something that's like purposefully, you know, obnoxious. And someone in the seat next to me is trying to talk to me about a serious issue going on in their life. I'm being given drama from an additional person in the car. Headphones in, playing something like "Living La Vida Loca." Not that there's anything wrong with that song. Everyone likes a little Ricky Martin. But imagine that full volume. Can't remove the headphones, you know, something like that. It wasn't that song, but, you know, you get the idea. Like, and the person next to you is like, and then we broke up, and it was like, he told me he has cancer, and you're there like, whoa, and then you're holding a living squid in your car, trying to chop off the tentacles. The other person, no help. And then, in addition to that, this is the last thing. In addition to that, as I'm trying to chop off an animal's legs, for some reason, next to me, I'm like, oh, I can just chop off these squid legs, throw them in the floorboard or something. The car, as my brain like turns inside the fictional car, the car full of trash up to my knees. Like in the first, like in Star Wars, like when the trash compactor is like moving in on everybody and they're like walking through like swamp trash water, like that. Now here's the cherry on top. Isn't it crazy that it's not even done? It's not even stressful enough with the squid. Here's the last thing. Trash water up to my knees. Person dumping drama. I don't even remember who it was. Like dumping drama on me. I can barely hear them because my earbuds, which are irremovable, are blasting a song that I don't like. Something obnoxious, like some German Schlager. Something that I'm like, ugh, I wish I could just take these out, but I can't take them out. Live squid. Don't forget that guy. Don't forget old Squidward wrapped around my arm, like literally trying to, you know, not die. And then all of that's happening. And as I'm cutting tentacles in a car, I guess I cut them or something. I cut one at least and was about to put it into a trash bag inside the trash water pile. And the trash bag was full of rose bush thorns. I mean, that's a dream for the therapist. Am I right? I mean, like, what? What? Like, yeah, sure. I have anxiety. Sure. Sure. I get stressed out. You know, I overthink things. Not that day. You know, I don't actually get. I mean, the thing is, it's so obtuse, you know? If it was like, oh, Jordan, you have a meeting with your agency, and yeah, it turns out that the big project they were offering to you is not going through, so it's not going to happen, but you're still going to have to go and do a presentation. And I'd be like, okay, that's reasonable. That makes sense. I'm chopping a squid up in a Hyundai Sonata somewhere with someone being like, oh, and then they cheated on me. And I can't remove my earbuds that are like, live la vida loco. And then all around me is trash water, like in the Star Wars trash compactor. And then when I finally do get one of those squid arms off, I put it into a trash bag full of thorns. That's the real horror. That's scarier than, like, The Conjuring. I think stress and anxiety are scarier than The Ring. Like, I would rather be a completely functional, life-balanced person and see an ambiguous... I would rather be, like, a completely life-balanced person and see, like, an ambiguous Japanese girl with no eyes roaming, like floating through my hallway, and whom I could maybe solve her inability to move on to the other plane or something by, like, you know, copying VHS tapes and like finding her, you know, the root of all evil, like, oh, her mom, you know, like, find, like, I could solve that crime and get away with being haunted by a blind, like by the Shining twins or something, like,
Jordan, come play with us.
I'd be like, all right, who murdered you? Let's figure this out. You know what I mean? I'd rather that than the dream I just described. For me, that's the nightmare. The worst part was the headphones I couldn't take out. Have you ever had headphones on? And for whatever reason, just for like a second, you can't take them out. Like maybe your hands are literally in mud. You know, or like you're like, I don't know, like there's a lot of reasons sometimes that you like your hands are occupied, like, you know, deep in the sink, cleaning dishes, you know, whatever. And you got something in your headphones and all of a sudden there's an ad, like a YouTube video ad or a song that is just unnecessarily too loud, but it wasn't. Like, it's louder than the previous thing that you'd put on. So all of a sudden, you are literally losing your ability to hear. And it's And you can, like, there's a second where you're like looking for a rag or something, and you're using your shoulder, you know, like you're trying to fly. Like you're like flapping your elbows, trying to like fly just to get the damn things out of your ears. And it's all, and then, you know, it's just, it's horrible. For me, that's, there's nothing. I would rather have Samara from The Ring as my next guest on Artsy. I'd rather be like, Artsy Fartsy Murder. So, Samara, she'd be like, you have 7 days until this posts. And then could you tag me? You know what I mean? I'd rather have that than have the headphone thing. But I mean, also holding the squid. We got onto this because of Halloween. Halloween's fun. But yeah, but that's the real horror, is the anxiety. The real horror, anxiety. Or at least in my case. My God, I've done like 16 minutes on this bit, but I love it. Ooh, what a nice, sultry, smooth transition into a different part of the podcast that was recorded on a different day. Look at that, nice and smooth. So from what I can obtain from me skimming the previously recorded segment, the first 15 minutes of this podcast, is that I focused tremendously too much on a dream I had about chopping a squid in a car with trash when someone was trying to give me some dramatic information with headphones in. It's a lot. It's a lot. But that's who I am, baby. So... that's how things go. I think I was setting up all of that to basically get into the whole point, I think, of all that was just to basically talk about the holidays, which on paper, that's actually kind of hilarious. So yeah, I think, you know, we all had a very good, really fun Halloween, and, Christmas is coming up real fast, real quick and in a hurry, like. And Thanksgiving is kind of this, you know, calmer middle zone thing where it's more compressed and low key, and, you know, it's a lot less like, you know, bells and whistles and flashiness, but it's more like just putting people together into a room to hopefully just give thanks on the things that they can. I don't know. What I like about Thanksgiving is it is like a strange holiday of self-reflection, but you know, the history behind it's pretty absurd. Like, you know, everyone in American schools, including myself, was taught like, well, there was one day when the colonizers approached the Native Americans, who back then they thought were people from India, because that's where they thought they were going. Like, where they approached the Native Americans, and then they sat down at a table, and they shared a meal of macaroni and cheese and turkey and green beans and cornbread and stuffing. And it's like, well, I mean, not really, though. Like, that whole section of American history is so dark. It's so absurdly dark. But what I am grateful for, at least, you know, at least what I can be thankful for and turn into a positive mentality, is that it has become something different for me, which I think that Thanksgiving is the perfect holiday to do that. You know, Easter is hyper, you know, It's a very Christian holiday. You can't really do too much like mixing and you know, messing up. Like, you can't really mix and mash too much about Easter. I mean, there is the whole thing about the bunny rabbits and the plastic eggs, which, don't get me wrong, I like that. It's innocent. It's sweet. I enjoyed doing it as a kid. And as far as I can tell, kids love it to this day. But Easter, you can't really mess with too much. Halloween, you're going to get what you're going to get. Christmas, wonderful. You know, Christmas is really, you know, maybe my favorite holiday. I'm not sure. It depends. I mean, Halloween and Christmas, I love them both a lot for very different reasons. But I would say Thanksgiving has this really interesting middle zone where you can kind of create it. Like, you can make it what you want it to be, you know? You can't really, like I was saying, you can't really change the traditional I don't know. You can't change the things that people are going to do. Not that you'd want to, I guess. I mean, the point being, Thanksgiving is a really cool holiday, in my opinion, because you can take the simple premise of having people that you love at your home, eating a meal, and saying out loud what they're thankful for. And I love that. I think that's very beautiful. You know, it has nothing to do about, you know, age or race or gender or, you know, nationality. It's just about, like, eating food and saying, I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful, you know, for my mom and dad. And I'm grateful, you know, to be healthy and da-da-da-da. Like, you can kind of choose, you know, like, oh, if someone has a really incredible year of success, or if they had a bad year of success, but they had a partner that supported them, or they have, like, you know, healthy, beautiful children and things like this, you know, whatever they're, if they're thankful for having 10 fingers and 10 toes, it's still the point of, like, reflection that I find so, so interesting and so beautiful. And that's kind of become my Thanksgiving, particularly just sitting down with nice people. People that you love, people that you care about, and just basically before you, you know, before or after you cram your body with all the carbs in the universe, like just exclaiming gratitude. And I don't know, I think it's slowly becoming like maybe my favorite holiday in a sense because of that, you know, because it's an interesting... It's an interesting thing how those perspectives shift as you get older. Because I feel like when you're a kid, right? When you're a kid, Christmas is incredibly dominant, you know, in the best way, like in a very positive way. It's like the most dominant, besides your birthday, right? It's a very dominant holiday that is, as you learn, as you get older, completely managed and organized by your parents. And then you get into, you know, Easter, you know, if you're into Easter, then it's like, you know, it's very Christian, and it's like, you know, it's more like things you do with your church friends and church groups, which is also a cool thing. But then you get in, like, sometimes people get into Halloween, and then, like, as you're a teenager, it's more about your friends and, like, not so much about dressing up, but maybe as a kid for Halloween, you go and you trick or treat and, you know, you have events like in your like local, you know, kid friendly events in your town. And then as you get a teenager, you know, then it becomes something else. And then in college, it becomes something else, which I do like that about Halloween, that it kind of shifts like from kid Halloween is like, oh my God, candy, you know, like mommy, look, you know, and then as like a teenager, like in high school, Halloween becomes a bit more of like just being around your friends. Like, yeah, I cut some eye holes into this bed sheet, and so like I'm a ghost. I'm going to go see Cody, you know, or whatever, you know, and just maybe there's one event in town, or it's, or maybe you even like push it away. But then in college, there's like a whole different stage, which was like my, I think in hindsight, my favorite stage of Halloween. I mean, don't get me wrong, I loved Halloween as a kid, but I'm closer to the age I was in college than the age that I was as a child. Jordan's very good at math. The point being, the chapter in college was like, especially in New Orleans, was, and I think for a lot of college towns and whatever, is like this adventure. It's like it's kind of a funny 180. Like when you're a kid, it's like costumes. What are you going to be? I'm going to be a ghost. And like, what are you going to be? I'm going to be a scary beaver. I'm going to be a scary little spider, and I'm so excited to hang out with Butch and Mackenzie and go out to Rusty's house and trick-or-treat because I'm a scary little raccoon. And then as a teenager, you're like, costumes are, like, pretty lame. I don't want to dress up. I just want to be me because, like, the costume So like emo. The costume is the person I always have to pretend to be in front of my parents, you know? Like when I talk to Steven at the grocery store, or like when I talk to my mom, she just doesn't get me, and then she gets like upset, you know? And then like the costume is society. That's the teenagers who are like, okay, like, we're not going to dress up this year, right? Okay, let's go smoke cigarettes at the gazebo. And then funny, college happens, and then you're like, okay, guys, what are we going to do? What do we want to be? And then everyone gets really pumped about it. And sure, you have, like, it's college, so you're having, there are people who are, like, just trying to get laid, which is also a funny part of it. In hindsight, like, when you get older, you look back on these Halloween parties and you see the same costumes that you saw people having as a kid, but now they're like 20 and they're like, so I'm actually like a pretty sexy beaver. Yeah, I'm a sexy raccoon and I'm gonna get up all in your garbage, okay? If you want my number, you can take me out just like you take out the trash. On Tuesdays, right? Every morning, every Tuesday morning, 9 a.m. Yeah, I'm a sexy raccoon.
I'm a sexy beaver. I mean, you see me and you look at me and you just go, damn.
Good Lord. I need another career. Anyway, okay, so. Sexy bear with me here, because once the puns start, they rarely stop. Anyway, so that's the funny cycle, right? Kid, love costume, innocent. Teenager, costumes are dumb. And then you get in college and you're like, costumes rock. But it's like trying to get laid. And then you get in your 30s and you're like, dude, this is the funny thing too. Then you get in your 30s and you're like, I'm going to commit to the most impressive costume my group of constituents have ever laid their eyes upon. Yes, I have a family. And just like, everyone's like 40 and they're like, I will convince you that this was the best costume you've ever seen in your entire life. Anakin. Yes, Anakin, let the evil fill your soul.
But then you have a, you know, it's a funny thing. Like, the costumes come back around, but in your 20s, it's just to get laid or just to have an excuse, because some really like really fun parties or like fun events are costume only, and then you're like, I kind of like this again. And then your 30s and 40s are like, I'm gonna spend so much money that it's gonna be a conversation. I'm gonna like commit to this. I'm gonna look up the most niche outfit I can possibly find, and then I'm gonna make eye contact with everyone at the party to make sure that they know that I know that they know,
but I'm not gonna bring it up. You know what I mean?
Anakin. I think I'm losing my voice. That's why it's so deep and raspy today. Man, who is that guy? I can't believe I forgot his name.
Anakin. You come to the dark side.
Anyway, what a roundhouse of an episode this one has been, as I sit here shuffling cards. But this was all just to say that Thanksgiving is cool because it's very malleable. Halloween has those stages, which I've just realized as I've been yapping this whole time, which I think it's a really cool thing to like recognize. But Thanksgiving is a very malleable thing. And at the end of the day, what I'm just so happy for, what I'm really thankful for this Thanksgiving is the fact that it is malleable. And like you can duct tape your friends to a chair and, you know, feed them some, you know, some slop. And say, what are you thankful for? And then you can, if they don't say your name, well, there's the road, bud, you know, which they can be duct taped to. Not that I would know about anything about that. But. No, but it's nice. Like every year there's like one or two or more people that always surprise me with what they bring up. Like, I also, okay, this is the other thing, like on exactly on that topic, is it's always interesting when people start reflecting inward where they take their gratitude, because it also shows you that because life happens very fast, and because maybe also like on the day-to-day, a lot of people don't get asked, or no, they're too busy. Well, first off, yes, a lot of people don't get asked about, you know, personal things like, you know, work chit chat and stuff. And then there's like, oh, and then I'm home, and then there's the kids and blah, blah, blah. But also there's a lot of people that because of that, don't get the chance to think deeper, like more inward about their lives and their, yeah, I mean, not existential stuff, but like they just don't get the, it's life, you know, life is busy, life happens fast. And like, if there's not someone asking, there's oftentimes the situation that you some people aren't looking inward because they're, you know, their lives are so external. There's the work schedule, there's the alarm, I've got to brush my teeth, I've got to take a shower, I've got to take this person here, and oh, this traffic is terrible, and like, oh man, I spilled mustard on my shirt, and then like, oh, talking to the guy at the so-and-so, and then they got to, you know, then there's like lunch, and like, oh no, okay, this place is closed, like, oh, but this one's fine, and then they eat, like, oh, I got to get back. And what I like about Thanksgiving, I think the most, more than ever, is that there's always a few people each time that you can tell they've either, one, not been asked in a long time about deeper things, or like had the opportunity to realize what they've got because of the reasons I just said. And it's a lot of beauty in that. You know, you have like a few people who seem to have, I don't want to say like prepared statements, but you have people who like kind of stick to their script, so to say. Maybe they thought about it, because you go in a circle and they're like, really happy to have that contract, it's just, you know, glad for my wife, you know, happy that we're all healthy, and happy that we could you know, put some money aside for that new truck, and yeah, thanks, all right. And then they just cut it off, and I'm like, hey man, that's beautiful, I'm happy for you, that's a great thing. It's, you know, it's men and women, it's everybody who can, you know, kind of pre-plan a sort of gratitude script. But every year there's a few people that surprise me a lot, and it's so like touching because of the reasons I said, like they don't really think about that stuff, and it's the people you sometimes least expect, you know, maybe because they're hard-shelled or just so distracted or whatever. And then it gets to them, it's like, what are you thankful for, you know, whatever, Toby. And then you have a guy or a girl or whoever, a mom or anybody, you know. Our group, our friend group is, I think the, on average, like ages 35 to like 50, which, wow, getting old. Anyway, but there's always one person who's like, who sits there for a second, like who thought maybe it would be like just a throwaway like gimmick, like, okay, the Americans want to do Thanksgiving. And then they have like a pause and you're like, okay, this could be something. And then you can see it in their eyes. Like maybe there's a fear of being very vulnerable in front of their friends, which I completely understand. And also the challenge of like speaking publicly, like being in talking to everyone at once, also completely understand that. But then something really magical happens. Again, just to like a few, everyone says something really nice, what they're thankful for. And I don't mean that script thing is for everybody. Of course not. It's just a magical, nice, sweet human moment when one of these people, you know, taps into something deeper. And, you know, last year, there's a couple of people that, you know, cried as they started to say what they're thankful for. And, you know, it happened also this year. And I think that's beautiful. And I think it's important. And, yeah, I guess that's all I was trying to sort of get to, was just, it seems that in this extraordinarily strange, hyper-digital, fast-paced, short-form, you know, attention deficit world that we're living in, that these kinds of human-to-human, heart-to-heart interactions and moments of reflection are more and more far, you know, few and far between. And that's what I really like a lot about Thanksgiving. You know, turning it, making it very specifically about that and being together, you know. And yeah, so that's all I want to say about that. I feel like Forrest Gump. And that's all I got to say about that. But then there's Christmas coming up, and that's also like a really cool special thing. If we, you know, can collectively understand and omit that Krampus is a part of German Christmas to such a horrific extent that I'm going to be seeing it soon. In a couple of days, there's going to be like this, the run of the Krampus, the run of the, you know, in this particular small town where I'm going to be in a couple of days, the Krampus like monsters are called Klausen, not to be confused with Santa Claus. These are anything but sweet, jolly, you know, jelly-bellied, white-bearded men who bring gifts and chocolates. These are horrendous murder monsters that I always have disliked. Except for when I am in a locked house on a balcony, looking down, watching, you know, teenagers, you know, brave the streets and get chased for fun. That's cool. But if you've, you know, seen any of my stand-up comedy or you know, any of the videos or things I've mentioned or, you know, talked about on this show, then you'll know that when you're attacked or, like, assaulted personally by these guys, it sticks with you. There's a really interesting episode. I wanted to see how far back that was, actually. People who have listened for a long time, knowing that I'm about to go back into my like video list here, are already understandably rolling their eyes. But I did want to see how far back was this really, really, really special Krampus episode, like Krampus Klausen episode that we did on this show back when Mo was still regularly a part of the programming. If you haven't heard it, once I find the, oh, here it is. Yeah, look at that. Okay, wasn't so bad, guys. You can unroll your eyes now. The Klausen special part one. What it's called, the Klausen special part one, and that came out on December 3rd, 2020. So that's pretty cool. And then Klausen special part two was the next week, December 10th, 2020. So wow, 5 years ago, man, we've been doing this show for a while. But that's yeah, I'm really happy with that. That combo, I think the first one we had some, I forgot. Let me see if we had, like, if I wrote down who we spoke to. On part one of two, Jordan breaks down not only his own fears and experiences with the German holiday, normally taking place every December 6th, so 2 days from this release date, but he also gets the insider scoop from an old-timer who's been around the Klausen block more than once. And to top it off, we have a great story from a hilarious friend about her inability to process Klausentag. Well, it is traumatizing, so no judgment there, sister. And then Klausen Part 2, I forgot what we had here. Oh yeah, on the second and final installment of the exploration into Klausentag, Mo breaks down what the Bavarian holiday means to him and shares what some consider to be the highly overlooked, quote-unquote, beautiful side of Klausentag. We also hear two first-hand experiences from Klausen themselves. That's right, we had this guy on there. I forgot his name. One of whom is a woman who takes part in the St. Barbara run every December 4th. So that's today, the Bebele. And one is a guy who just ran the quote-unquote canceled Oberstdorf Klausentag of 2020 only a few days ago. Canceled not like a celebrity who drugs women, but canceled because it was the pandemic. Here you can find the song from the show, I'm not going to pretend. I have no idea what this says. By Yoram Lee. So that's back from, December, 3rd and 10th of 2020, which you can check out today if you're interested in hearing some further information about the good old Klausen, the good old Krampus. We have that coming up in a couple of days, and that should be interesting. It's always something to experience. But I do love about Christmas time in what I do love about Christmas time in especially in Bavaria are the Christmas markets. You know, it's like the feeling of looking at Kevin McAllister's home in Home Alone. You know, it's just like the Christmas markets give you this vibe of like, oh, something like sweet and magical and pure and like da 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 da. Man, I love that song so much. It has that feeling. It has exactly that feeling. John Williams. You son of a bitch! That's the composer of the music, for those who don't know. I'm obsessed with him. How can one man have so many good songs? The Christmas markets, especially in Bavaria, have a real magic to them. It's just this sparkle, this glamour, this glitter, this sweetness, this purity, this hope. And it's something, connecting back to the Thanksgiving thing, like finding peace and solace and connectivity. It's something I think we all need, you know. And I loved Christmas, you know, as a child, and loved, you know, that we always decorated the tree together, and that we had, or you know, like. We would do it a little bit together when I was a kid, and then as I got older, me and my brother would do it, putting it in the right spot that mom liked, and then like setting up the stockings, and being woken up Christmas morning, either waking up early myself or having my brother, like, I remember my brother one time like running into my room and was like, get up, there's big gifts here from Santa, and it was so sweet. And it's just the lights and the cold and the steam coming off like the Feuerzangenbowle. It's like this hot steamy liquor bowl. It's really a nice warm drink. I remember, I think it was my first, like I think so 2013 I visited Germany for the first time in the summer. And then I think it was Christmas time. It was Christmas of 2014. Christmas of 2014. Was it Christmas 2014? Wow, I guess it was. I think it was Christmas 2014 that I came back. It was, because it couldn't have been 2015 because that was like the Christmas I was living here, but. Or maybe it was after I had, I think it was 2015. I had just freshly moved. I don't know. It really doesn't matter, Jordan. But I remember like being at a Christmas market with Efi and her sister, and it just feeling so, not holiday-ish. There's a word. It's like festive. It felt so festive, like everyone out in like, beanies and jackets and scarves and gloves, and there's like steaming hot like sweet wine, and there's like a fire bowl thing. It's just cool. It's just a nice thing to, and You know, and then also like in the main area of Munich, the touristy part, like the Marienplatz area, which is so beautiful. You know, I'm glad when I can show people that area for the first time, because it is something that you kind of take for granted until you go experience it with someone who's never seen it. And like in that area where there's beautiful, gorgeous Christmas markets that have been, you know, in tradition in that area for like longer than America has been a country. Right next to it are these just gorgeous churches, and they have choirs singing, and oh man, I would love, I mean, they do very, very traditional, like classical Christmas music, like, you know, very, very, very traditional stuff. But wouldn't it be so sick if you walked into one of these gorgeous old churches after having like a hot Glühwein from the Christmas market? And you hear, you just hear in the background the, you just hear this. I can't tell if this podcast is getting more creative or worse every single episode. Oh my God. Well, I wanted to just think about any more things I wanted to mention. I can't remember at this point. I've broken this episode into like different days, so who knows what I've already talked about. But I will be expanding into longer form YouTube content. So please comment what you would like me to discuss. I have a new camera, so I'm excited about that. I had a recent discussion with my booking agent about the next events for like 2026, 2027. I think we're going to probably push like a main tour into spring 2027 as opposed to doing another October, November for 2026. It's a very complicated, very stacked window in that like October, November. And it's also very difficult to book things now because those things are, they book out like a year and a half before. So it was already hard to get last year's tour, or this year's tour, sorry. So doing it now for next year's tour would be pretty much impossible to get the places that we want. So we're going to push a big tour to spring 2027. But in the meantime, I will be doing some special event things and doing some traveling. You know, when you're at my level, you have to kind of, you know, work towards building the audience and breaking even. So it's not like it's for tons and tons of money, but that's totally fine because I just love traveling and seeing the world. So I might be doing some shows like at the Cologne Comedy Festival that's here in Germany, and of course some American military bases in Germany. That'll be fun. But then there will be like some opportunities that we've looked at in like London, Amsterdam, Basel, Switzerland, and maybe even like a Kulturreferenten, like a culture, blah, 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 in Budapest. So I'm very excited also to, I've never been to Budapest. I've only been to Amsterdam once when I did this social media stuff for Tony's Chocolonely. I don't think I've ever been to Basel, Switzerland. I've been to Switzerland, but I don't think I've been to Basel. And then, of course, I've been to London, but just one time, and I've never been there to perform. So that could be sick. I do have some, I do have an audience in the UK for some reason. I don't know why. That's Australian. I tell you, I have to work on some accents. But anyway, guys, I love you so much, and I hope this wasn't too chaotic. And in the meantime, if you have not had a moment of self-reflection or given thanks for the beauty, love, joy, and health in your life, if you were lucky enough to have it, then take this as an opportunity to do that. I will give you guys a big story about the Clausen after my weekend away. And in the meantime, keep rocking in the free world and take care of yourselves. And yeah, love you guys. Bye bye. Look out, baby. The saints are coming through. And it's all over now, baby blue. Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von John Prince und Moritz Batscheider.
produziert für M94.5.